Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Welcome to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
People, it's a very special day. It's my birthday. Yes, January 27th. Go play that number. Comes up all the time. You know, I was visiting a friend in the hospital the other day, and they rolled in some piece of equipment to do some monitoring of her condition. And I went to move away from beside her bed to make room for the nurse and the piece of equipment. And as I looked down at the floor to see, you know, make sure I didn't trip over any wires, the base of the piece of equipment had a number on it, and the number was 127. And I knew in that instant, and I've got chills telling you this, I knew in that instant, and I said to her, you're going to be just fine. Couldn't have been a better omen. All good things happen wrapped around 27 and 127. It's quite remarkable. So I want to remind you, every show is podcast for 52 weeks. You'll find them all at travelers411.com. Every show is simultaneously archived forever and ever and ever. So after 52 weeks, when you can no longer download the shows, you can still hear them. And you'll find... go to travelers411.com. Check out the directories. We have a directory for every single guest who's ever been on the air with us, and links to their relevant websites and all that good stuff. And if they've done their job on their end, although I have to tell you, some people grouse about doing it. Every now and then, our tech team gets some kind of irate, why are you bothering us to post photos at your member photos? It's like, are you kidding? So... go to travelers411.com and click on member photos, and you'll be able to see glorious photo albums created by our guests to really get the inside scoop on things, often even places we've been to, where they have aerial shots that, you know, we're never going to climb a mountain to get, or take a helicopter, or at this point get a drone to do, but they have, and you'll be able to see things from a point of view you haven't before. I'm really excited about today's show. There has been a man whose name has been in my professional life since 1986. And his name was quite relevant to the 16 years from 1986 to through most of 2001. And I'd never met him, but I knew legend about him. And he is a fellow in the travel industry with a reputation for having brilliant ideas, truly being visionary in so many ways, and having started so many businesses to a point where he felt that this was time to move on, start something new, let somebody else pick it up from here and run with it. And the fellow's name is Barry Jones. And out of the blue, by circumstance and happenstance, we connected around Christmas time, not face to face, but by telephone. And he called me and he said his name, I said, not the Barry Jones of, and then I rattled off some company names of these companies' fame. And he said, yes, that would be me. And I said, Barry, we got to get on the air and talk about your latest project and passion. And so we're going to be talking with Barry Jones about one of my favorite subjects in the universe, and anybody who's listened more than once knows that, trains. And we're going to do that right after this.
Stephanie Abrams Travel Show is brought to you by Amtrak. It's time to see New York and save 15% with Amtrak. Plan your 15% saving getaway today at Amtrak.com and click on deals and look for See New York and Save 15%.
With me, live from Fort Worth, Texas, is Barry Jones, president of America's Trains. So how'd you get into the train business, Barry?
Firstly, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. I'm 19 again.
Oh. Well, I got into the train business as a result of looking at the opportunity in the United States. There is no, presently, has been no scheduled or regular train vacation programs.
I am delighted to have on the phone, live from Fort Worth, Texas, Barry Jones, the president of America's Trains. You've been involved in a lot of different things in the train, in the travel industry, Barry. Is this your first venture into trains?
Yes, it is.
And what attracted you?
Hello?
I'm here. Do you hear me?
Yeah, okay, I got you. I'm sorry.
That's all right. So what attracted you to the train industry?
Well, there's a shortage of vacations in the train industry in the United States, particularly luxury or scheduled ones. There are in the world 8 or 9 or 10 fantastic train vacations, but we just wanted to fill the void with wonderful vacations throughout the United States.
Well, there certainly is. You know, train travel is revered both for basic transportation and luxury train travel and vacation train travel in Europe. And somehow trains are often not given what they are due in the U.S. From the point of view of the opportunity for a luxury vacation. So what is it you're doing exactly?
Well, what we do is we acquire old retired railroad cars, passenger train cars, that are out of service, former Amtrak cars primarily, and we rebuild them. These cars are really built well, and we rebuild them and modify them and improve them so that they meet current Amtrak standards and plus a butt. Extra amenities, and then we rebuild the inside so they're just as luxurious as they could possibly be, equal to or better than the best trains in other countries.
So when did you start this process of acquiring trains for the purpose of creating something new and special for U.S. train travelers?
Well, we got interested a couple of years ago. There was some delays having to do with Amtrak itself. Our cars are pulled under contract by Amtrak. So we have access to about 21,000 miles of rail tracks, which are Amtrak tracks, or tracks that are used by Amtrak. And the Amtrak itself provides a service, I mean, adequate service, but their idea, they're a people mover. They take people from station to station as quickly as possible. And when you get somewhere, you don't get off the train unless that's your destination or your final point of arrival. So what we do is we hook ourselves up to Amtrak trains, and it might be a single self-sufficient car or several cars traveling as a train set. And Amtrak pulls us to various points where they drop our cars off. We park in a siding or on a spur. People live on board while they enjoy whatever there is to enjoy in the area. It could be, Orlando. It could be Washington, D.C., or wherever that may be. So what they do is they're living on these luxurious railroad cars for a day or so, depending upon what's available in the area. And they enjoy the activities and the attractions of that particular location.
Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break and come right back because I want to understand more of the logistics of how people are getting from the train to the local attractions and places that they'd want to go and visit and whatnot, and back to what ultimately is their sidecar luxury accommodations aboard a train through America's Trains. We're talking with Barry Jones. We'll be right back after these important messages. Don't leave me.
This weather report is brought to you by the Curaçao Tourism Board. The long-range weather forecast for the north coast-to-coast calls for snow, sleet, icy rain, slippery roads, and a wind chill factor well below freezing. The long-range forecast for Curaçao calls for warm and sunny today, warm and sunny tomorrow, next month, and the months that follow, with highs around 86 degrees and lows around 76. Isn't it time to plan your breakaway in Curaçao now? Learn more at Curaçao.com. That's Curaçao.com. Stephanie Abrams Travel Show is brought to you by Amtrak. It's time to see New York and save 15% with Amtrak. Plan your 15% saving getaway today at Amtrak.com and click on deals and look for See New York and save 15%.
Coast to coast with the most travel professionals and the best business and leisure travel information. Travel with Stephanie Abrams and on-air traveling companion David Isby.
I'm delighted to have on the line with us Barry Jones, a truly well-known, visionary, iconic character in the travel industry who has been into all kinds of good ideas that what I love most about this man I've never met is that he's not afraid to take on a challenge. And you have to have the courage to risk, people, but you also have to have the vision to know what's worth betting on. And currently, Barry's recent project is developing around a company that he has founded called America's Trains. And so what you've been doing is buying up train cars, particularly well-built train cars, as in Amtrak train cars, and refurbing them into something more pampering and posh and upscale and luxurious. And what does that mean in terms of what the final product looks like?
Well, the final product, the interiors are as nice as any rail cars in the world. Typically speaking, a car would have an average of 4.2 bedrooms per car. Now, that means that a sleeper car might have five or six. A lounge car might have just one or two bedrooms. Our first car, which is operational now, is a high-level car, which is two full decks. And the upper level is what's called a transition level or a transition car. We can hook up to another high-level car with Amtrak, or on the other end, you can hook up to a single-level car. There's stairs going down. That particular car has four bedrooms upstairs, three bedrooms upstairs and one downstairs. The downstairs one is probably without doubt, the finest railroad car bedroom in America, if not anywhere, because it goes from one side of a car to the other. There's no hallway. Very large. They're all very well decorated, superbly designed. And they're really built to be a luxurious, elegant form of vacation, which you can't get anywhere else in the United States, particularly on railroad cars.
Wow. So what is the style of the decor?
Well, the decor, the existing car, by the way, we name all our cars after flowers. The first one's named the Sunflower. The Sunflower interior decor is rather unique. It's got leather inlay on the walls, just as an example. The furniture is glass, so when you board it, it's really unique. the particular, there's a stairway down to a lower level. The dining room and lounge are upstairs. There's three bedrooms upstairs. All of the amenities you could possibly imagine are on board, including things like Wi-Fi. So guests get a real, real wonderful vacation that they can remember. The cars travel between various locations. When you board the car, for example, a route might be from Fort Worth to New Orleans. The car will stop at San Antonio in Houston and park there for a day so you can enjoy whatever attractions are around San Antonio and Houston. You also can live on board once you arrive in New Orleans for a day and enjoy New Orleans. So the when you get places, there's shuttle buses that pick you up, take you wherever you want to go. It's all inclusive, wonderful dining. All beverages are included. That includes alcoholic beverages, if you so desire. And the service is impeccable.
Okay, I've got 1,000 questions here. So, firstly, you say there's one car in service now, so that's the Sunflower. Is that correct?
Yes.
So the Sunflower has this one big bedroom happening on the first level, and then there are more bedrooms on the upper level where the dining and bar lounge are located. Do I have that straight?
As a matter of fact, we have three bedroom categories in our designs. The Sunflower has one of each. It's our first car, and we wanted it to show off the alternative bedroom styles. So the downstairs bedroom is has a king size bed in it, for example. The upstairs bedrooms have one large, one not so large, and a double, which is upper and lower berths. The upper and lower berths can also be used by single passengers.
So, would that create? I'm hoping that the other cars coming on service, that there are some that have a bedroom on the first level along with the dining and the lounge, because I'm wondering about the passenger who has mobility challenges with stairs, having to get from the first level up to go to, because there's a bedroom on the first level, so far so good, but if the dining and the bar lounge are on the upper level, that would be a barrier for some folks, no?
No, you just get on the elevator.
Oh,
we put
go
an elevator
you.
On it.
I've never seen an elevator in a train car. Go you,
no,
Barry. You rock.
Well, we have an elevator. We refer to it as a lift. But you're right. There are stairs there, and you have to consider that because, some people don't want to go up downstairs, me included, so I take the elevator.
Yeah, and, for many good reasons, not the least of which is laziness, but for many good reasons, there are people that look at stairs and it's like looking at Mount Kilimanjaro or something. It's like, well, that's not happening. So, that's good news. Now, you mentioned the trip from Texas to New Orleans, and, that's kind of I suspect that's a nice, easy run. But when you were talking about the kind of double-decker cars, the ones that have two levels, like the Sunflower, you couldn't put that train, that train car, on the back of an Amtrak train coming out of Penn Station heading for Niagara Falls or Montreal or Vermont, because the big, tall car would not be able to clear the train trestles, the lower bridges that just present tunnels that present themselves until you get to Albany. If you can bring your train up and around into Albany, then you can go from Albany to Niagara Falls to Toronto to Chicago to wherever you want to go. But you'd have to come in north in the Hudson Valley region, and the first station you could actually attach yourself would be at the Albany Rensselaer train station. That's the way Amtrak does it with their fall dome car that takes people sightseeing during the fall foliage period. We're going to take a quick commercial break and come right back. This is Stephanie Abrams talking with Barry Jones. Don't leave me. Hey,
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Barry Jones is on the line with me. I know some people in the travel industry who would be absolutely fascinated to know that you and I are talking, Barry. I almost called some people to tell them you can't believe who I'm going to be interviewing next week. So I am just thrilled to be talking with you because you have been a name that has come up in my life literally since 1986 and come up again and again and again. And a truly a legend for identifying a hole, a void in the travel industry market that needs to be filled and coming up with a really creative idea to fill that void, as you're doing now with America's Trains, a company that is creating upscale posh train vacations. Is the decor similar to what one would think of if when you think of the Orient Express? Is it a kind of, you know, Gilded Age Victorian kind of a look, or is it a very modern look? What did you go for here?
Well, what we've gone for, all of the cars have one standard theme. So when you walk from one to the other, it's not like you're going from one world into another. However, each car emphasizes a particular decor. And it's all classic, very beautiful, comfortable, of course, and a little bit different. The old themes of railroad cars permeate our designs, but we've added a whole bunch to them. Like I said, the furniture, the dining room furniture, for example, in the Sunflower is glass. I mean, if you've ever seen glass furniture, it's beautiful. Of course, got cushions on it, things of that nature. And it's acrylic glass, so it doesn't break. but that style, it dominates the theme throughout all of the cars. The some of the cars, the bedroom car, a sleeper car in our car, has five or six bedrooms. Those are very large compared to anything else you'll find in the United States. You know, typically speaking, an Amtrak sleeper may have up to, you know, 10 or a dozen sleeping compartments,
right,
whether it's a room or a compartment.
Right.
And ours would have five, which makes them quite large, large enough to put queen beds, full bathrooms, showers, and all of them, which are private in each room.
Well, it sounds like the perfect answer to taking the family on a benchmarking occasion like grandma and grandpa's 50th wedding anniversary and taking basically a land cruise rather than a sea cruise.
Well, it's exactly that. You know, the our vacations are really have two segments. They're traveling on the train, which is getting to wherever you're going to park and visit. And then, of course, when you arrive there, you enjoy whatever it is that's available to enjoy. You know, it might be a national park, it might be a Washington D.C. Places like that, and the cars themselves provide all the comfort you could possibly want, and you don't have to get off the car and go to a hotel to visit the museums in Washington or the national park. You know, scenic areas. You just live on board. You pack your bag once, get on the train, stay on it for a week or however long your journey may be, and then get off at the end. You don't have to get on and off as you would if you took an Amtrak vacation.
Well, I'm still a little fuzzy on the logistics of that. So let me ask you some questions about the onboard experience when the train is not moving, when you've reached a destination and you're going to spend some days there. Does food service on the train continue, or are you getting off the train for all of your meals?
No, you have your choice. If you go somewhere and you want to eat out, you're certainly you can do that. But food service is provided when the cars are parked, when you're visiting, wherever it might be, full food service. As a matter of fact, we have 24-hour service. If you wanted a snack at 3 in the morning, we'd get it to your room. Or if you want a picnic basket to take somewhere when you get off, we'll give you that as well. When you arrive, you're at your leisure. You might have a scheduled tour. We have our own tours, by the way, called Tracks to Adventure. But we also make arrangements, whatever you want. You might go skiing and golf. We have a particular golf journeys lined up where you'd visit three major golf courses and play golf at those and then go on to the next one. The idea of it all is to make a two-segment vacation, the wonders of traveling. You know, traveling on a train gives you, you know, you see things you're not going to see on a road or on an airplane.
So, especially an airplane for sure. But, you know, you can take a road trip and think that you're going to see everything, except if you're the driver. In which case, most of your attention is on the asphalt or concrete or dirt road or whatever it is that you're driving on. So too many things. I mean, this happens all the time when we're driving. And I say to my husband, oh, pity you just missed that. Because going at 60 or 70 miles an hour on whatever road you're on doesn't leave a lot of time for somebody to let their gaze be distracted from what's going on the highway and keep you safe at the same time. So,
well, you know, also, trains go places that you'll never see on a highway, but particularly in the western United States, through the mountains. There's places that you're going to see that you can't see otherwise.
Right.
Magnificent scenery. You can see that at your leisure. Just sit there, and particularly on a high-level car where the views are so great. These features of traveling to a destination are unique in themselves. But when you get there, you also have the unique opportunity of enjoying a variety of things. You might one day enjoy skiing and the next day enjoy the beach, depending on the particular route.
So aside from where does the train start that's going to New Orleans?
Well, that particular route is from Fort Worth down to San Antonio, Houston, and New Orleans, and then it comes back, goes back and forth. Other routes, of course, are much longer. For example, a route from Chicago to the West Coast, it would be a long route. That would be a one-way trip. And you don't stop as often because, you know, there's long segments, but that's where you would really enjoy beautiful scenery.
Wow. So what is the grand plan?
The grand plan?
Yeah, what you know, in terms of, you know, your overall mission, vision.
Well,
what we're
going to do is introduce up to 40 passenger cars over the next several years.
Oh, wow.
They'll be operating on multiple routes all at the same time, anywhere from a single car to up to five cars in a train set. Eventually, we'll run our own engines, which we'll charter from Amtrak, but there won't be any Amtrak cars in that particular train. And you'll be able to select a particular route or itinerary just based upon where you want to go. At first, of course, we only have one and several cars coming up behind it quite quickly. So we're limited to the routes we can offer.
Well, and there are, you know, in the grand scheme of things, the percentage of rails, tracks, owned by Amtrak is quite small compared to the freight lines that own tracks. And so I'm sure you're going to face that challenge when you want to go some places and you've got freight trains to contend with.
Of course, Amtrak has that problem. Now, Amtrak's tracks are all up in the Northeast quadrant.
Yep.
And they travel on railroad track. Owned by freight lines. You know, Amtrak gets a bad mark for on-time arrivals and things many times that aren't their fault because they're running on freight train tracks
That's
and they
exactly
have to wait
right.
for freight trains.
When there's a freight train coming through, the Amtrak is required to pull off on the side rails, wait for the freight train to go through, and then they can get back to their business of moving on. You're absolutely right about that. I wish that Amtrak owned all of the tracks and let them lease them to the other people who are moving freight. Because if you ever stand, if you ever stuck in a railroad crossing and there's a freight train going by, I have counted freight trains with over 300 cars. You know how long it takes for that to go by? So, yeah, that can be a challenge. Well, I want to thank you, Barry, for joining us today. I want you to keep us up to date on how you're doing and where you're doing. And for more information, people, check out American Train Vacation with an S, American Train Vacations. .com and go to sabrams.com where there's a link you can click right through. Thanks for joining us today, Barry. Everybody stay with me. We'll be right back.
Take good care of yourself. You belong to me.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Well, thank you, darling people, for joining me this hour. It's nice to know you're there. For those of you listening in the northern nether regions, in the Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts, I hope your body is on defrost. We've had some very serious cold. You know that spot we have for Curacao? we should play it for you. Maybe we will in about a minute and a half, because it's a reminder of how to get thawed out. Get defrosted. If you haven't been watching the weather reports in the glorious Northeast, if you're listening in Ireland or New Zealand or South Africa or someplace on the globe and you're not up to date on the weather conditions, there are so many places that have had not only single digits below zero Fahrenheit, like 2 below, 3 below, 5 below, there are places near us with 25 below. It's like, I don't know. Go outside and, they could just freeze your body for science. You don't have to stay in the cold, people, unless you choose to. At the moment, I'm actually choosing to. Hard as that may be to believe, I have to make some very serious plans to go traveling with our English Springer Spaniel rescue dog, who I think will have a psychotic episode if we left her for too long. And I think I want to plan, I'm actually going to do it. Been talking about it for a long time, to do a doggy road trip and do a kind of traveling pause, get on the road with Erin Go Woof and take her places. She's such a scaredy cat. It doesn't take much to frighten her. The thing that's upsetting her the most, not crazy about going out in the snow, not crazy about the wind, scares her. So we'll do a mission of mercy. And I'll take you with me. So you can learn about all the places we go and visit, and particularly if you're a pet fancier, and you don't want to leave your pet behind for whatever the reasons. There are so many, not just pet accepting, but pet welcoming destinations. But I have a lot to talk with you about, and we're going to do that right after this.
Today's show is brought to you by Malta, where Mediterranean walled cities, Baroque towns, sleepy villages, and bustling fishing ports provide visitors with an abundance of unique experiences, charming cafes, nightlife, clubs, restaurants, and glorious pastry shops that remind travelers of Baroque living. For details, go to visitmalta.com.
Okay, people, here's what's on my mind today. You know, a long time ago, I found myself being disappointed the more things I learned connected to very famous people that I really idealized. And that happened in my travels. And I came to the conclusion that creative people are just better at hiding their sources. And it happened again this past week. So I want you to go to my blog where I share some of the things in the past that have troubled me. For instance, you know that bull that's the logo of, I think, Merrill Lynch? That raging bull looking as a symbol for the financial community because a bull market, the stock's going up. And the way you remember which is bull and which is bear, think of bear down. Bear down on something? Well, if it's a bear market, stocks are going down. There is a replica of a raging bull, a brass thing, sculpture, in the financial area in Lower Manhattan, New York City, in the financial district. The sculptor is Asian. I believe he's Chinese. He was very ticked off when they put a statue about the same height as the bull of a little girl with her hands on her hips having a lot of, as my friends would say, tood. A lot of attitude. And he felt that this was distracting from the importance and value of his bull statue. And they talked about moving it. I don't know if they've actually moved it yet, but plans are afoot to have the little girl statue's feet move off in another direction. And it's wonderful, his righteous indignation, the sculptor, about the relevance of and artistic importance of this bull. Well, I'm going to say it was something like 2004 or 5, or go look it up. You can find it on my website. When we were on the inaugural cruise of the Viking River Cruises in China, and we were on the Yangtze River and the Three River Gorge business and all that, and we went from Beijing with the help of the river cruise and a couple of flights and a bus to all kinds of places all over China, ended up in Shanghai, and came home through with a little stop, a wonderful stop in Japan. When we were at the Three River Gorge hydroelectric plant, which at the time was partially finished and already supplying 10% of China's electricity, needless to say, they had a gift shop. On my first trip to Europe, the guy sitting next to me, who I hope is a very elderly man and still alive today, named Kurt Fischer, who was a professor of philosophy at Muhlenberg State College in Muhlenberg, Pennsylvania, told me that you will go around Europe, you will climb virgin mountains after walking through virgin forests, and you will get to the very top of this completely deserted place, and at the top there'll be a cafe and a gift shop waiting for you. At the Three River Gorge attraction, which, I don't know, if you're into looking at the outside of big assembly plants, manufacturing places, that's pretty much what it looks like. I mean, unless you really groove on technical stuff, I don't know why you'd want to make a stop there, except I think it was part of the Chinese government wants people to know about their technical accomplishments.
We're flying high.
Let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.